service by our Father, name of your Son Jesus. In this service, we receive the revelation of your word. Our hearts receive clarity and insight that is found in Christ alone. Together as a church, we know Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him, is glorified and we're edified. Amen. I'm going to look at, in conclusion today, though next week, I'll be focusing a whole lot on the gifts of healing, just to tell you ahead of time, so you won't be surprised. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. That's why you're teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always unto the end of the world. Mark's Gospel 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out demons, as well devils, they shall speak with new tongues, the spirit say they shall take up serpents, the demons shall not have them, shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. That's the day there. 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was with them in heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, demonstrating his eyes, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now, we've said that there is a necessity to understand how scriptures are read. I know in the first and second services, I said that there is a proper way to read scriptures and you must be schooled. And so we looked at the didactic of Jesus, a mode of explanation. And it's important because oftentimes many Christians I know blindside Old Testament text. So you become a student, Matthew 2, in verse 19 of Matthew 20, you become a student of the Word. That is a scholar. We said to be enrolled as a scholar. When you take the Bible, it's a spiritual book in that sense, yeah, with spiritual information I meant, but you take it in a serious student-like fashion. And you make it, you know, something that you're serious about. And one of the things that Brother Higgins told us back then, and I again in memory of Brother Price, which he also made very clear, is that sometimes wrong thinking, when you have a wrong idea, and much of the wrong thinking is how we read the Old Testament text, the Old Testament events. And many times it's just right interpretation. Now, the Old Testament has a way it must be read. And we've been doing that study over the years now, where you must know how to read the Old Testament. You must know how to read, because we've said, the Old Testament is God's word. That's very clear. It's God's word. However, the language is what you need to understand. Let's look at one typical example. And then we're going to build on that. In Genesis chapter 3, we said that in the systematic way of reading scripture, where do we begin from? Where do we begin from? Genesis 3. Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, in the original Hebrew there, the I is silent. Or let me put it as salient, both ways. Where it's not active. That's the first thing. The second thing is that this should be read together with chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. The day you eat of it, you will die. I'm not going to kill you, but you will die. So which means that the very consequence of sin, God only spells it out, is not the cause of it. It's very vital. And so in chapter 3:15, I will put, the word there is put, or there is enmity between your seed and our seed, it shall bruise your heel, your head, so it doesn't bruise your head, shall bruise your head, and that shall bruise his heel. That word is, state what is going to happen. Oftentimes we see God, and this is a wrong picture of God who sits in a planet and he begins to control what people do. Then he gets angry when he doesn't do the right things. Many times we have the picture of an angry God, but much of what we have in scripture is a sorrowful God. The very first thing he says, when Adam and Eve had sinned, he says, and the Lord God called up, Adam, where are you? Genesis 3:9. A rhetoric. The tone of this is not anger. The tone of it is, who told you you were naked? Verse 11. Who told you you were naked? Verse 11. Have you eaten of the tree? Rhetoric, which means that there is a figure of speech in there. He answers all his speech in rhetoric. What else goes on? What is it you have done? Verse 13. What is it that you have done? You know, he didn't say, I will do. So what is it that you have done? Who told you? What is it that you have done? Then verse 15, the consequence of that is enmity between the woman and the seed, or the serpent, the woman and the serpent, and between our seed and the seed. You bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. By saying seed of the woman there, God predicts a miracle. A miracle. But then that shows you we have God who, pay attention, he's not surprised, he's God, but he laments. And this is not like that island that we have seen. Oh God, he just does what he likes. This is lamentation. This is somewhere else. Genesis chapter 6. Pay attention to this. In Genesis chapter 6, Moses, whom I told you, has a style of writing, almost know how writers write. Genesis 6 and 3. It says, my spirit shall not always, verse 3, shall not always strive with man, for I was flesh, yet his days shall be 120. To strive with, trying to convince. D-I-N in the Hebrew. So God's spirit, he's striving. That doesn't look like a dictator to me. Doesn't look like a tyrant. This is a striving. Dean means to judge with, to convince. How long? 120 years. 120 years. To put up with flesh, to put up with violence. 120 years. Now look at verse 5. This is very critical. Verse 5. And God saw, are we there? And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only continually evil. This is the first time we are going to read the word heart in the Bible. Now look at something closely. Now in the second service, I can't go over that now. When we look at the term anagnos, read it in detail. Again, forget the verses. Look at the next statement. It says, the heart of the man is continually evil. And he uses the phrase, used in Genesis 2:7. Yetzer, Y-E-T-Z-E-R, intentions. He forms the intentions. People are like, it's natural. By using Yetzer, he means that it is devised continually. Just like Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man with Yetzer. He says, now man forms his own thoughts. So, human thoughts are man-made. Is that clear? They are man-made. And you can't have faith without thoughts. It's thoughts. Well, Genesis 3 came from thoughts. Now listen to this very critically. Verse 6. Slowly. It repented the law of the Spirit as well. The Lord repented, can you remember? Okay. Repented the law that he had made man on earth and what? Gave them where? Can you see two things? What's evil? And how the who? The man. Now, you know, that's what mankind. Because in verse 8, now I have more. So, which means that those connected things have exceptions. Or exceptions. There's nothing called sin came from Adam to you. I told you that because that is not a correct doctrine of scripture. Right? Now, look at verse 6. Now, priests are Greek. So the very first two times we are going to see by our heart in scripture, one at evil, the other at sorrow. So the very first heart of God that was sin, iniquity, violence, and corruption is what? Grief. That doesn't depict a God who is a sanguinary despot. Now, remember, this is the second sentence, like I said earlier, we looked at how to read, beginning with what? Moses. Now the prophets. Don't start from Numbers. That's not cool. Go to Genesis. Genesis is the seed form of everything you will see. And so we see that God's heart is green. And the word here is in a regular word for grief. You know, we have the guys that are just grief hypocritically. Very hypocritically. I called someone last night, I said, oh, my friend from primary school. So I said, oh, sorry that you guys are walking alone. He's a Liverpool fan. So he said, you're not serious. I said, from my heart. From my heart. I'm sincere. I said, I told him, that's not sincere. So I even cried. Some guys have a style of crying and they're not telling the truth. They want to beat you. But I love it. If you're not sorry, you don't want the cave. My dad didn't care. When my dad cared, my mom didn't care. My mom didn't care. So when you finish crying, what are you cried blood? Whatever we have in Jesus. So we have verse 6. He says he grieved. Now that word grieved, now look at Moses. He's writing the same thing. It's the word Hazar. H-E-Z-A-R. H-E-Z-A-R. And we need to pay attention to this. Now Hazar is derived from another word, Hazar. H-E-S-A-B. Where do we find this word? Genesis 3. Genesis 3. Verse 16. I will greatly multiply your sorrow for the woman. Your sorrow, pain. Pain. Then, Adam, thou shalt eat of the curse of the ground for your sin in sorrow. In fact, the word used for Adam is the word Ichabod, same word from Adam. I-S-T-S-A-B-O-N. So which means that God identifies. Man doesn't even know what happened to him. It's God who feels the pain on his heart. And how refers to his thoughts? God, therefore, is a grieving God here. He feels pain. That's not the sobering God I was told. I told this God who has no emotions. He just says, we see here that he grieves. He's got pain. Not the emotional thing, but the pain that identifies with what man is going through, that man doesn't even recognize. Imagine man's heart is continually evil, he vexes violence on himself and others, and who feels the pain? God. So from Genesis, God didn't just identify on the cross was just to make it clear that God has always identified with man. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman is God himself. So it's always been the grieving God, pained, pain. personal reasons. You know when you get pain because it's you, and you're like, I didn't pay you. I didn't pay me. And then you can't, you know, I don't know how to put it. You can't sleep. You say, what? It paid me. Like, you know, people are in a relationship. And then, what do you think about this? Today, February 13th, Florence was the amen. That's Valentine or Valentine, whatever. What's wrong with you now? I was talking about Genesis 3. So he feels the pain. So he feels someone put it to me and he goes, hey. No, I said, I'm sorry. I'm not doing it again. And he's like, what are you trying to do? 8 years. Of my life. It is. That is. No worry. Move on.
Move on.
You have no peace. Then you are going to. She will die young. Now, she's pain. Someone's going to call her. Move it. She's pain. But we are all sick. You get it? She's pain for our sake. She's pain because she feels, oh God. Oh God, I'm not blessed. We've only taken people in our power of pictures. We have gone to movies. We have gone everything. We have gone, we even did our call to church. Now I go to the group of the wedding, close up the same color. We're going to have a worship together. Nothing will happen. So I use your energy. So that move on is a prophecy. Act on it.
So repent!
That one is wrong. This one is the pain of another person. He bears it. He begins to, you know, when people say we don't have an actress who is not touched with the feeling of our family, is even 4:15. So when Jesus came to the temple of the devil, he was being God. Do you understand that? He was being God. So that idea of an absent God who's telling everyone to max our script is the scripture. God will say somewhere, then he marks the script, and he says, you know what, I'm throwing in heaven, heaven is the marking center, the head center. So, when you write your script, through thoughts, through everything, through business, through Isaiah, submit your script. And then, no, this is this empty script, compass, no. 0, 0, 4, 5. He identifies with the figure. In his heart, he felt the same pain. God sorrows. God Christ. Oh, yeah, he does. In John 11, Jesus wept. In John 11, Jesus wept. He cried. He's God. There's nothing odd about what he does at the womb, the throne of Nazareth. You know the interesting thing about that crying? You know that he won't raise Lazarus from the dead. He won't raise Lazarus. Lazarus is going to come out from the dead. Why is he crying? You know that in verse 4, it says, the sickness belongs to death. It's not the death. He told them that. Verse 23, your brother will rise again. But why in 35 is he crying? He looks at the, you can see and the vicissitude of it. And again, we see the Genesis 6:6 God. He's pained. He carries the pain of Lazarus on himself. We realize that. He's pained in Matthew's Gospel. One minute, please. So we have God, Luke's Gospel, 19:31. Here is Jesus. And I took the original of this. Luke's Gospel, 19:41. Luke's Gospel, 19:41. He knows Jerusalem, does not know the time of their visitation. He sees the wickedness and the rebellion, and the Bible says he wept over it. I checked the Greek. It means to wail. You know, the scared say, what are you going out there? You know, and you say, so good mouth. You say, are you crying? They say, no, really. No, really. And they say, no, really. No, really. Ah, what happened now? I said, talk about it later. Now you will find out. The rest of what he did, he said, ah. You know, he said, are you crying? Ah. Are you crying? Jesus was literally saying, yeah! That's not the God some people think he is. He's wailing over another's condition. He sighs. Jesus. He enters the temple and he saw zeal. He marvels at unbelief. Now, what kind of thing is this? He marvels at faith and unbelief. Matthew 8, the centurion, he marveled at his faith. Matthew 8, 10. That means the servant goes, wow. Matthew 13, okay, Mark 6, he marveled at their unbelief. Mark 6, verse 6. He marveled at their unbelief. So, we have a God who is touched in human biology. So, but if you study Genesis very well, you will see the genesis of God in Scripture and men. You will see the explanation. So, as a student of God's Word, you must be, you know, astute about these very important details. So, when Jesus does what God does in Genesis, right here, in the four Gospels, we are able to say that is Yahweh, or in today's language, Jehovah. So as we have been studying, he therefore, you know, looking at the resurrection and the cross, he said the cross is where Jesus and the resurrection, where he deals with sin. But the sign of it, he said, is healing. Quickly, let's see a few things. In Matthew 28, verse 18, he said, all authority is given me in heaven and earth. What kind of authority does Jesus talk about? In Luke 5, verse 13, that the Son of Man has power upon the earth to forgive sins. He has power upon the earth to forgive sins. Luke 5:24. Luke 9:1. He gave his disciples authority and power over devils to cure diseases. Luke 10:21. I give you authority or power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So we have power to forgive. And power over sickness and disease. So how are they related? Power to forgive is evidenced by power to heal the sick. They walk together. He heals the sick because he forgives. This is exactly our Old Testament narrative. Exodus 15:26. Exodus 15:26. The power to save is proven by the power to heal the sick. Exodus 15:26. And said, if thou wilt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases which were brought upon Egypt, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 23:25. Exodus 23:25. And thou shalt serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take verse 25, I will take sickness from the midst of you. I will take sickness from your midst. Remember our narrative of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, we said that the word sickness and disease was used for sin, rebellion. But right there we find the healing of Hezekiah, showing you that restoration of God's plan and purpose by forgiveness of sins is evidence of proven by healing. God's message of forgiveness is proven by his healing power. So there is no healing message different from the message of forgiveness. That's why Jesus sent them out, pay attention, whosoever sins you and me calamitated unto them, John 20:23, whosoever sins you forgive, I forgive them. Whosoever sins that you retain, I retain. Luke 24:47, repentance and remission of sins to be preached in his name among all nations. What is the proof? You will lay hands on the sick, are you there? And the sick will recover. So the healing of the sick is proof of forgiveness of sins. So as disciples of the word, as we learn forgiveness of sins, what's the proof of it? Healing. The healing ministry, therefore, is a ministry that proves God's forgiveness of sins. Did Jesus bear our sickness on the cross? No. Did he bear sin on the cross? Yes. What is the proof that he has done that? The sick are healed. Matthew 8:16-17. So therefore, we must learn from the signs God's message of forgiveness. Did you notice that in healing the sick, Jesus didn't turn anyone back? In healing the sick, it was for everyone. That shows you what the message of forgiveness of sins is about. For every nation, Luke 24:47. For whosoever, whosoever. So we said that in the message of the apostles, we have the resurrection. What is the proof? Acts 2:43. Mighty signs and wonders. Acts 2:43. Do you remember what we said about why the subject of healing and the miracles of healing wasn't promised in the epistles? Can you remember why? Well, don't forget that very, very important detail and explanation. Acts 2:43. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. What were they preaching? What did he ask them to preach? Forgiveness of sins, right? In his name. And there were signs and wonders. What else? Look at Acts 3. This man is healed. Look him up. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, verse 6. Now, what's the message? What is the message? Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Acts 3:26. And you because God have raised up Jesus his son, sent him to bless you, and turn every one of you from his iniquities. Acts 5:12. Look at what happened in Acts 5:12. Many signs and wonders. Acts 5:15. The God of the sick onto the streets. So can you see something from there in the teaching? Acts 2:39, forgiveness of sins. Acts 3:19 and 26, forgiveness of sins. Acts 5, Peter's shadow passes and the sick are healed. What is Peter preaching? Acts 5, 31. The woman brought exalted his right hand, a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and what else? Forgiveness of sins. So what is a healing message? Forgiveness of sins. Of course, at 6 we have Philip, of his children in verse 8. He did wonders and miracles amongst the people. Then we have a sermon where he talked about Jesus, the just one, in 52, and eventually he was killed. He didn't get to get to that point, but he got to verse 55. I saw the glory of God and Jesus on the right hand of God. Acts 8. Philip preached Christ. What did he preach about Christ? Notice again in Acts 8 when the Enoch opened to Isaiah, Acts 8, 30. And then in verse 35, he preached unto him Jesus. What evidence? The evidence is in verse 6. The miracles, verse 7. Of whom spirit found a loud voice came out of men. The lame were healed. Acts 14. Of course, to just continue the message that they preached, in Acts 10, Peter says to him, give all the prophets witness, and through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive the remission of sins. Look at the group of them. Remission of sins and the Holy Ghost fell. Remission of sins and the Holy Ghost fell. Acts 13, Paul. What is he on preaching here? Acts 14 and verse 38. Through this man is preached unto you forgiveness of sins. Through this man is preached unto you forgiveness of sins. Acts 14. So when we are in 7, Acts 14, 7, there they preach the gospel. What gospel is it? Forgiveness of sins. And then a man heard them speak, he had faith to be healed, and he was healed. Healing, therefore, is a proof of forgiveness of sins. Let's speak a little bit of Acts 19. Acts 19, again. Verse 12. So that from his body were both under the sick handkerchief and aprons, and disease departed from them, and evil spirit went out of them. Verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. What was he preaching? Acts 20. Acts 20. He says, in verse 31, I was testifying to the Jews, the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 24, I testify the gospel of the grace of God. In verse 25, the kingdom of God. And then in verse 32, the word of his grace. The word of his grace. What were the signs? Healing, right? Casting out of demons, healing. Acts 26. Acts 26. Verses. This is Paul's message. Verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and the power of Satan to God. Let's finish it together. And they might receive what? Forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by that faith which is in me. So, it's clear that the message was never healing. The message was forgiveness of sins. The gospel of Jesus. And healing is the sign. Now, the moment healing becomes a sign, it means the gospel is a healing. The gospel, therefore, means there's a recovery being done, there is a union, there's a restoration in the gospel that's evidenced by healing. Therefore, the message of forgiveness of sins is a message of healing. Is that very clear? Not very clear. So, if I see forgiveness of sins in Scripture, the proof of it is what? Healing. Healing. So, when Jesus preached, for 3 days and 4 days and people get healed. And we don't have the sermons. Look at all his parables. All his parables, all his teachings, salvation from sin, faith in God. But the signs, physical healing. He taught the power of God was present to heal. Luke 5:17. He taught what? Forgiveness of sins. Matthew 4:23, Matthew 9:35. What's he preaching? The kingdom of God. What is the sign? Healing. The God said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick. See that? He said, preach of us healing. Preach the kingdom of God, the Lord. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Christ lepers, Matthew 10, verse 5 to 8. Which means healing is the evidence of the message of forgiveness of sins. And I will say earlier, it points to it ahead, it points to it behind. So let's zero in today on some very important things I want us to learn together. And what is that? How do we use testimonies well? How do we use testimonies well? Now, I'm going to start from the testimonies. Now, what is the testimony? Of course, in Scripture, when you say testimony in Scripture, it means to confess God's word. But let us put it in our own world. Testimony means to come and say what has happened to you. To say something that's personal to you. How do we? Now, let's learn something from the synoptic. But that Hagin used to say something that, you know, I didn't understand initially, that many people get healed in services because of the anointing, and then they lose it. Because more often than not, they didn't know how it came. And that's what he calls the mass faith in meetings. Oh, you know, people just say things, wow, step into it and they're healed. But let's look at something that Jesus said that should call our attention to caution. There are many instances where Jesus said, tell no one to his disciples. He says to them to tell no one. We're going to go through a number. Just be ready. Are you ready? Have your Bible with you. Mark 1. 34. He healed many and did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. He didn't allow the demons, Mark 1:34, because they knew him. Mark 3:12. He spoke to charge them that they should not make him known. Mark 3:12. Luke 4:41. Luke 4:41. Again, he rebuked the demons and allowed them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Luke 4:41. Matthew 8:4. Matthew 8:4. See, this is the fellow who was healed, the leper. Tell no man, but go thy way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for testimony. Now, this is very critical because this is one of the two persons you have to go and tell. When it says, tell no man, go to the priest. Why? Because lepers were outcasts. So to allow them back into the temple and into fellowship, the priest, NCDC of their day, all right, has to satisfy you and run your presence is negative. You get it? So he has to do that. So, which means that he said, tell no man. Now, something curious is, but what do we need now? So pay attention. Tell no man. Mark 1:44. Mark 1:44, same thing. This is the same story. Verse 21. Luke 5:14. Luke 5:14. Same man, fellow man, or show yourself to the priest. So go to Matthew 9:30. Matthew 9:30. When you hear the blind man, he said to the man, see that no man knows this. So Jesus was not the author of, come and tell people what happened. No, he's not. He's not the author. Is it not? No, it's not. Just listen carefully. Mark 5:43. This is an outstanding one. Or progressively outstanding. When he raises Jairus' daughter, he charged them strictly that no man should know it. Mark 5:43. He charged them that no man, so Mark 5, I'm sorry for that, 43, that no man she knew it. In Mark 8:26, neither go into the town, nor tell it to anyone in the town. He hears the man is blind. He said, don't tell it to any man in the town. Mark 8:26. Luke 8:56, again that's the book of Darius. Matthew 12:10. Matthew 12:10. No, wrong. Verse 16. He healed them all, and he charged them that they should not make him known. Matthew 12:16. Mark 7:36. This is a guy who was dumb and deaf. A father being open, straight away, his ears were open, 35, his tongue was loose, 35, and he spoke plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But watch this. But the more he charged them, the more he greatly promised. He charged them to tell no man. The word charge is very strong, but the Greek, he charged them to tell no man. Matthew 16:20. Same thing. To tell no man that he was the Christ. Mark 7:24. He didn't want anyone to know it, but it could not be he. Mark 7:24. Mark 9:30. Mark 9:30. He would not that anyone should know it. He didn't want anyone to know it. Matthew 21:27. They asked him a question. Neither do I tell you whose authority I did this. Mark 11:33. Same thing there, and then Luke 20:8. So consistently, Luke 20:8. So it's consistent in the ministry of Jesus to ask them not to tell anyone. It's consistent in his ministry to ask them not to tell anyone. So that's consistent. Mark 5. Only one fellow did he say in 19. Go home to your friends and tell them how good things God has done for thee and have compassion on thee. Now let me ask you. Somebody has been abandoned in the rocks, right? In the cave. He's mad. And he's cured. What do you tell him? Go home to your friends. He didn't say, go down the mountain. I showed them how great things were at home. So, why did Jesus do this? Let's start again. Healing and miracles is what? A sign of what? Very good. So, if you have the sign without the message, it becomes fruitless. Because the sign is never going to have an eternal impact. So, which means that Jesus wanted the miracles and the message to work together. So he told his disciples, don't tell anyone. But right now, we're reading this story. I'm not reading the testimonies, but we are reading the stories because the people writing them are his witnesses. So upon his revelation, he, upon his resurrection, he found his own disciples slow of heart. Luke 24:35. Mark 16:14. He said, hardness of heart and unbelief. Now, which means that they had to teach it appropriately as a message of faith whose signs is in healing and miracles. So which means that he wanted the miracles explained properly. That is why the way the synoptic writers, the way they put down the miracles, was exegetical. The opening of eyes, ears, had theological implications. The raising of the dead, the healing of the lame, everything had a message in it. So, he wanted them to be his witnesses. And so, with the knowledge of the word and the gospel, they were able to write down the miracles appropriately. Now, you see carefully. This is a nation that's used to the Exodus. Within the Exodus of Egypt, they had all the miracles, signs, and wonders, and it produced more unbelief in their hearts. Hebrews 4:2 says they did not receive the gospel. They had the miracles. Hebrews 3, verse 7 to 9. They had all the miracles. So, Jesus wanted his witnesses that he chose, Acts 1, 2, and 3, Luke 24, 48, to teach and walk the miracles as part and parcel of their doctrine. Because when Jesus cast the devils out in Mark 1, they were astonished at his doctrine in casting out demons. There are people that can walk miracles and breed unbelief. Now, I'm not using it as a powerful example, but imagine Moses who spoke to the rock and water came out, and what he did was to not honor God before the people. Let's look at it together, maybe. Numbers. Numbers 20. Verse 7. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, and thy brother Aaron, and speak ye unto the rod before their eyes. It shall give forth his water, and I shall bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that they shall give the congregation under this drink. Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded. And Moses and Aaron were congregated and together brother, and he said to them, hear now, O brothers, must we, see that, fetch you water out of this rock. Lift up his hands, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came up abundantly, all which on ground and their beasts. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have believed me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore, you shall not bring this congregation onto the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because your Israel spoke with the Lord and was sanctified in them. So you see that there is a right and proper way to present a miracle. You can present a miracle wrongly. And here, Jesus chooses the men to present the miracles properly. If you have followed our teachings on the synoptic, you notice that Matthew, Mark, Luke, we've not done John yet, we saw that they wrote the miracles in an exegetical way. They are not reporting like a journalist. They are writing like a witness teacher of scriptures. They are relating the miracles of Jesus to Old Testament prophecies. They are relating the miracles to the resurrection. This is the intention of saying, tell no man. Now, I can say now, tell no man yet. I've taught you this before, but yes, this is not the first time I'm saying this. He had said it all up. So that this will be part and parcel of the message. That means that when we read the testimonies of the synoptic, we need to pay attention to what was said. So, I must pay attention to what was said. Look at Matthew 8. Have not found great faith, no, not in Israel. What is key there? You notice that it would have been very easy for the apostles to have just written a man, a centurion, Sabbath healed. No. Jesus spoke from the house. The man was healed. Look at the report. Look at the healing. What are the issues of God? 12 years. Hallelujah. That this will not be healed. Let's be on the door. Go! People say that the Christian God will use her eyes to see perfect. But she came. And Jesus just looked at her. And the daughter was healed that very hour. Now, Lazarus, 4 days is stinking. But my God, from beginning to the end, magazine. But the whole lot of things were said. Hallelujah. Which is why he asked them to wait. So when they went back to those stories, and if they remember, he said, these are the words which I said to you while I was yet with you, Luke 24 and verse 4. The woman with the issue of blood. Jesus wanted us to learn. She kept saying, if I touch his clothes, I will be whole. And Jesus said, go in peace. I told you the other time. She's whole, he talks about peace. So within that miracle of wholeness is a message of peace. In the house of Jairus, he says she's sleeping. So which means that for the saint of God, death is going to be asleep. Sleeping. It's used in the epistles later on. They took those words literally from Jesus. Slept. In Christ. So within those things, we find the message and then the miracle. But then the principles. We notice there's faith, fear, unbelief, doubt in what they said. Faith, fear, unbelief, doubt. The woman with the issue of blood, for she said. The centurion, she said. The Samaritan woman, she kept speaking. So faith is in what God is doing and what men are saying. The disciples must have taken note of that. What else? Of course, if you look at Matthew 6:31, take note of singing. That is, don't worry, don't be anxious by speaking. In Matthew 14, when Peter was, about to be drowned, Matthew 14, Jesus said, Why did you doubt? You have little faith. Matthew 14:31. How do you know doubt? But he cried out, "Lord, save me!" In 30. Simon, Mark 4. Why are you afraid? How did Jesus know they were afraid? Help me with those words. Mark 4, 39 and 40. How did they were fearful? Because they said to him, "Master," in the 30th, "carest not that we perish." So which means that we can locate fear, faith, unbelief by words. Why did Jesus come to Jairus? All those things were written so that we would know the message. Don't be afraid. Only believe. And when he went into the house, he knew why he said that. People were crying and he had to get them out. So which means that when it comes to receiving healing, our words matter, right? Does it matter? What we say matters. Hallelujah. And it's not what you say on a Sunday, it's what you say during the week, it's what you say on a Tuesday, it's what you say on a Wednesday, it's what you say every day of the week. Hallelujah. It's what you say. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's what you say. In what you say. What you say about it. Of course, don't deny the facts. Don't say there's no pain in my body. Well, you could say that, you're convinced. But then you know what? How long God is walking right now? It's texting a healing on the kill. She kept saying. She kept saying. Now, believe that they can never act until they saw the gospel, the message. Because it's a speaking message. It's a speaking message. When the word of God comes to your heart, you say it with your mouth. It is a speaking message. The message is not touching clothes. It didn't make people touch clothes. I've seen people get healed by the mentality. The message is not touching his clothes. No. The message is what she said. She said. She said. She said. She said. She said, what would she say about him? She said, hallelujah, hallelujah. When we put words of faith and healing in our mouths, we glorify God. We glorify God. Our words are meant to glorify God. Say, I glorify the healer. Say, I glorify the healer. I love the sickness and disease. Say, I glorify the healer. I glorify the healer. And he's healing. I do about the healer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Words. What else did you say about healing? Luke 4. Now put your hands in Luke 4 and go to Mark 6. We're going to read because the accounts are similar. Mark 6. So put your eyes in Luke 4. Verse 1. Mark 6. Well, let's read Mark first. And he went. Now this was after the miracle of God's God. He went from end and came into his own country, and the disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, his own country made the place where he was very known. Very familiar. Sometimes, if we're not careful, that own country can be your church. If we're not careful, that's if we're not careful. We're going to be moving very well. I was talking to one fellow one day. He used to be the political officer of a pastor in Nigeria. Popular pastor. So he told me, he said, we don't see the power of God in the man's ministry anymore. Now, before he said that, he had a conversation with someone in our office then, and he said a lot of things about the same preacher. I wasn't part of that conversation because of what I heard him say. So when he said that, and I told him, so after that was done, he now said this deep part. You don't see the power of God in his ministry anymore. So I said, how would you, with everything you just said now, where would the power come from? How? And in Mark 6, Jesus is in his own town. And on the Sabbath was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. He began to teach. And many heard him astonished, saying, "From whence are this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him? Even such mighty works are wrought by his hands." It looks like the passage to his mouth. Let's take the three together. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? These words are your people. But there are details. The brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon are not his sisters. Are not in any way like his sisters. That is, those words are a bit more. Are not his sisters here with us? Can you talk to yourself and say to me? Who is he? Or who is you? What do you know? What does he know? You are a villain. Then he said, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own king, and in his own house." So I will never act on this in Jesus' name. You know what I'm saying? Look at it. Country. Among his people. In his own house. That's not so that there are people in the house. He will despise them. You don't really know them. This is not. Now, look at what happened. And there he could do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went on about teaching. So the cure was to what? Teach. You don't need more love. It's not very clear. You need more love. That means they have junk in their head. Twitter, Facebook, amen? Instagram. So you need more love. You have too much gist. Too much gist. So, whenever, I want to use one phrase, I'm going to trouble. But I think anyway, whenever I'm not connecting with God's power, and it's a very, very strong word, connecting with God's power, there's something wrong somewhere. I need to get more words. I need the word of God more. So, even Jesus needed them to hear the word more before they received. So, he went around and taught. We are about to see what he preached. Then he called the 12 and sent them out. This took a while. So we must be patient with people. He sent them two by two. And look at verse 12. They went out and prayed that men should receive, repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed many with oil that were sick and healed them. So they actually moved with oil. You know that music. Things are not that bad. Look at Luke's rendering of this. Luke's Gospel 4. They're looking at healing in the light of our redemption. When you look at the gift of healing, I'm going to get into a bit more detail here. Luke's Gospel 4. See, what did Jesus say? Now, this is the same story. Is this not Jesus' son? And he said to them in 23, "You will surely say unto me, this proverb, physician, heal thyself, whatever you have done, by the power of God, you are in my country. For whatever I say, no prophet is accepted in his own country." 25, let's go. "But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when he had before, sort of 3 years and 6 months, when the great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent. Save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." 1 Kings 17. Where we find a woman who is a Gentile. So, what's the key there? Jesus is telling us that faith is honor. Honor is faith. She called him a man of God. 1 Kings 17. Notice 1 Kings 17. Now, said, "I prepared a woman of men and women in verse 9. How does God prepare people? I prepared a woman, and he got there. And he called unto her, fetch me a little water in a vessel. She was going to fetch it. He said, have bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal. I'm driving these two things for me and my son to eat and die. He said, fair enough, go and do as I said, and bring me the little cake first. And she responded, how did God prepare her? By our believing. So that God spoke to her is because he believed. Then we find the second person. In verse 27, Luke 4, many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. None of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian, a Gentile. Of course, when they heard this, they were angry, okay? A Gentile. That's again 2 Kings chapter 5. If you know that story very well, Naaman came with a load of offerings, and Elisha said, I don't need it. Go and wash yourself in Jordan. 7 times. Why 7? Why not once? I'm sure in every deep, he must have said, let me have a better one down here. And then the 7th one, if I was felt offended, then his men said, what are the actions that you cannot do? And he did. Jesus therefore shows us that people in Israel did not receive what the Gentiles did. So therefore, a critical thing he taught when it comes to healing was honor. Honor means to see people, men and women, in the offices that God has placed them. So when there's dishonor, what do? I receive the word of God more. The cure to dishonor is the same cure to unbelief. I hear the gospel more. I hear the word of God more. Why do people fall into dishonor? The flesh, the world, and in today's world, the social media. Social media, the print media, could just be the reason. So I put the word more in my heart. One thing I must clear, and I'm always clear, is that God always uses men. God always uses men. So in closing here, to receive healing, I use my faith in honor of the healing ministry. I believe in the healing ministry. What about you? I believe in the healing ministry. I will not criticize or speak down on the ministry of miracles. I won't do it. I'd rather keep my mouth shut. Is that clear? Amen? Because this honor to the healing ministry needs not to be your pastor. Is there anyone? I was in the healing ministry. I believe in it. Lord be God. I was in the healing ministry in my family, in my home, amongst my friends, amongst my colleagues. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the cure is the word. The cure is the word. Feed yourself. When you find dishonor, then the word of the word more. Dishonor starts with being light. The song that when you sing the song, you raise your hands, glory to God, healing is mine. It is starting to use it to put fun. Gradually. So how do I turn? I hear the word more. I feel unable. And I receive healing for myself. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Get your hands and bless God. Glory to God. This week we receive miracles this week. All from God's men and women this week. Come on. Do you believe that? We receive miracles this week. God's man, women, in my neighborhood, in my house, in my office, in my colleagues, folks, in my cell, my fellowship, come on, raise your hand. Bless God.